This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joe B. Joe Biscaglia in studio with us today. He'll be here with us until 3 o'clock this afternoon to talk Bills football and do some of the interviews with us today. We got Greg Cosell from NFL Films coming up at 1 o'clock today. We have a special guest joining us in studio as we speak. Happy to have the general manager of the Buffalo Bills, Brandon Bean, in studio with us. Brandon, welcome. Fix that mic. There you go. This is do-it-yourself radio here.
I love it.
Thanks, Brandon. Thanks for coming by.
Nah, good to see you guys. You've
spent a little bit of time meeting media today and I guess forecasting, maybe looking back a little bit at the draft. Is that what you've been talking to guys about?
Yeah, we kind of talked back. Some of the questions were back sitting there a year ago. You know,
what's
transpired for a year. And you know, then we did hone on some different areas, whether it's free agency, the draft, or the 17-year drought.
What did you think of your mini camp?
You know, I thought it was good. The thing that came up in talking to the media was I really felt that, you know, you can set a standard and say, oh, we made the playoffs, we're good, we can let off. I thought Sean and the coaches did a great job of setting, you know, a fast-paced, well-organized tempo, because you still got a lot of new people that were not here that don't understand the tempo, and they came from colleges or different teams that maybe don't do it the way we do it. And – you know, it's like military. It's routine. You got to build the guys up. And I was really impressed with how quick the coaches got all 89 of those guys. We didn't have 90. All 89 of those guys that were out there rolling in sync and getting the most of the time, because these rules limit how much time you can actually spend with them out on the field.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, how much do you have to be wary this time of year of fool's gold as compared to when you actually get to camp and things get a little bit more real? Because, you know, just being in this job for however long that I have, I found myself going, oh, look at that guy. That guy's been great in mini camp. And then you get to camp and it's like, okay, where'd he go?
Yeah, you got to remind yourself it's shorts and T-shirts. And especially when you're talking about the linemen, the running backs, the linebackers, because just because a guy's in position now in shorts and they can't hit him, what's he going to do at the moment of truth? And, you know, guys can, you know, do certain moves in pass rush moves, or linemen can't do things because of the rules. It's, you know, it's just it's limited contact, whereas it's not limited contact once the pads come on.
My friend Chris Brown, you know Chris, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, brought up, Brandon, I thought, a really interesting point. I think it was earlier this week, about how difficult it must be, and nobody's really said this, you know, your coaching staff, but it must be difficult to install a new offense and evaluate quarterbacks simultaneously and figure out who's going to play. Do you find that to be the case, and do you think they're working through that?
Yeah, it's probably not an ideal scenario to have a center battle and a quarterback battle all at the same time.
Right.
You want to be very strong up the middle in any sport. I truly believe that. And so that's not necessarily the way we drew it up, but you got to play the hand you're dealt. And with all that said, I love the room of the quarterbacks. Those guys, Nathan was the only returning guy from a team a year ago. We brought AJ in, who had been in Cincinnati, and then add Josh to the mix. And while they've all competing, you want guys competing, they all want to start. They all have supported each other. And I've not, you know, I've been around where that room's not always jiving, and I really feel good about the dynamic in there.
How much credit does Brian Daboll get for that too?
Oh, he does.
And Coach Cully, actually, the guy, the quarterback coach.
You know, that's it's a fun room to walk into when you go in there. You got obviously Brian, he's boisterous. He's leading that room, and he's in charge. But Coach Cully, he's been in this league a long time, and he's been around Andy Reid. He's been around some good ones, and that was part of what Sean brought him here for. And he's got a veteran calmness that he's always constantly, if you hear him out on the field, even though Dayball's going over, he's orchestrating everything, he's giving those guys, I heard him yesterday, Josh broke out of the pocket and he hadn't switched the ball to his hands, ball security, just little things like that that can be big things in games, can be the difference in winning and losing.
Well, going back to just kind of finding the fool's gold and what I said, what position, I know you brought up the lineman, what position can you get more of a true gauge from in workouts like these? Because I know it's difficult, but what kind of transitions a little bit better in your mind?
I think the skills. You know, you can see the movement of the corners, the safeties, receivers, and the quarterbacks. The running backs, you know, where are they hitting their target line? Are they reading their blocks? And then obviously, what do their hands look like in the passing game? I think those are the ones you can get the closest gauge, but all of it's a little bit of fool's gold, right, to your point.
We're with Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager, a couple of minutes with him today to get our show going. You mentioned receivers. I think Tasker and I were talking earlier in the week about that group. It's an interesting group. It's almost like an old 1950s rock band, Kelvin and the Question Marks or something. You know what I mean? Because after Kelvin Benjamin, who knows who's going to wind up playing? Who knows who's going to emerge when you get to training camp?
Yeah, it's natural. Everybody, especially people from the outside that don't know the DNA of all these young men in that room, are going, oh, I'm looking for names. I know Kelvin Benjamin, right, but I don't know, you know, Jeremy Curley as well. And unfortunately, Zay's been hurt. Hope to get him back, you know, close to when camp starts, if not when camp starts. And then you got a lot of guys. You know, we drafted a couple guys, and Andre Holmes was a returner, and Malachi Dupree was here for a year. We got a Brandon Riley. There's so many guys in there, and they all have different skill sets. They're all competing. It's a really good room. We added Terry Rubisky on staff this year. I think Terry has brought a really good father, leadership, mentor. He was just an OC. You know, he's stepping back down. So there's a lot of veteran experience that he brings. He's been around guys. He's coached Julio Jones and others that are talented receivers. So it will settle. I know people are looking for names, but sometimes I got this term from Gettleman. Sometimes the answer's on your roster. Let that play out before you decide differently.
Not names, but what are you looking for along with Kelvin Benjamin at receiver? What kind of a, you know, 5 or 6 man group do you hope to have September 9th?
You want diverse. You know, you don't want all big guys. You don't want all fast guys. You want different things because it's a matchup league, and you want to give teams a variety of things they have to game plan for. If you have no speed, then they're going to stack the box on Shady, and those guys are not going to worry about it. But if you don't have any size, you're going to get hurt when you get down in the red zone. And so we've tried to have a mix. And, you know, in that receiving plan is some tight ends, you know, Charles Clay, Nick O'Leary. You know, we got some guys. Obviously, Shady's good when you get the ball, and there's different ways than just handing the ball. So that's where, you know, Brian's really good. He understands matchups. You see New England, how they do it. Look at their receiving core. How many guys have they had that people were just raving about? Now, obviously, they got number 12.
Right.
But there's a lot of different ways to put it together, and I think it's going to be a fun competition to see how it shakes out. I don't know how it's going to shake out, but I think there's some guys that are viable that will show their worth.
What is the expectation for Zay? I know he's injured right now, but when he comes back, are you assuming that he immediately gets right back to where he was last year in a starting role, or how has what he did in his prior year impacted what your look on him is in the future?
Yeah, well, first we'll have to get him back in there. He missed a lot of reps this offseason, unfortunately. And, you know, the latest knee was really frustrating for him and, you know, for us too. But you have to deal with it. And I think he's in a good mindset. I've talked to him several times since his most recent knee cleanup. And he's excited. He's got new goals, new motives. And he's really done a great job in the meeting room. But we know it's still got to translate to the field, and he has missed these reps. But he'll jump in and have to earn. He's not just going to necessarily go right to the top of the line. He'll have to earn his way. But part of that will just be just getting his feel. He's only played with Nathan Peterman. You know, he has not got to play with Josh Allen or AJ yet. So, you know, just that bond there will have to form.
Is he going to be ready to go once camp gets around?
You know, I don't want to put a – but he should be close. You know, I can't say day one, but he's progressing well. He's doing everything. He's going to be here the whole summer. We've got a great plan for him, mind, body, spirit, physically, everything. I think he's in a great spot as I sit here today and looking forward to seeing him back out there.
With Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager, you mentioned strong up the middle and some of the offensive line issues going on. I find myself fascinated by John Miller's story, a guy who last year sort of lost his way, it seemed, right? Got knocked out of the starting lineup, hung around. I think he was inactive most of the second half of the season each Sunday. And now all of a sudden he's running with the ones. Did he change? Did the requirements change, the job change with the new coaching staff, with the new offensive coordinator?
Yeah, you know, thing about John, you play in this business long enough, you're going to get knocked down. And, you know, for whatever reason, it wasn't meshing well last year with John. But John's come back with, you have exit meetings with these guys. And we just talked about what went right, what went wrong. He's a competitor. He was frustrated. He wanted to play. And he had started early in his career. And so he came back in here refocused and, you know, fighting to earn a spot. And I love his energy. He's really, you see it. You see a big smile on his face, like, I got this. I know what you're looking for. And I'm excited to see what he's going to bring when we get the pads
on.
He
doesn't have to go too far back to remember what it was like, not just to play, but to play pretty well in the league. In his second year, he was regarded pretty highly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he'll assimilate well. And I think he's done – I think he's had a really good offseason, And it was fun seeing the smile on his face out there, like, I'm back and I'm rolling. And I have no doubt that he'll show up in camp ready to roll and feel good about him, you know, his opportunity to win that that starting job.
Brandon, what's caught your eye the most about what Josh has done this spring?
You know, I think Josh has come in and he hasn't said, I expect to start or I expect not to start. He's just come in, put his head down, and he's followed the directions of Brian Daboll, Coach Culley, and Sean. And, you know, he's meshed in the group. You see it. If he wasn't meshing, those guys wouldn't be helping him. I've seen many times where AJ McCarron's over there saying, hey, you should do this and this, or this was your read here. And so first and foremost, I love how he's come in here and just he's embraced earn the right to, you know, and competing every day. You know, I was very aware of his arm talent, and I think others now see some of the things that we saw, you know, as we scouted him. But he's, you know, he's a competitor. You look at the last play yesterday, it was on film this morning. He throws that ball to Austin to finish it, and instead of just kind of walking off like I did it, he sprints down there, and he was like the third guy. Even though he's the deepest guy beat him, he was like the third guy that got to Austin, and you saw him like just like doing this. And Joe Shane and I have this thing, he cares. Like, you see guys on motion, you're not there, you're just watching film, and it may be something on the side, you see some guy like that, you're like, he cares. Yeah. And so we kind of laughed, we were watching it this morning, we're like, he cares.
Yeah,
and it was cool.
Did you catch when he went? I think he jumped with Austin Prohl. Were you? Was that a moment?
I was. And I'm actually going to speak to him on that. Keep your feet on the ground when you can, please.
We had Josh on the show Monday this past week, and I asked him a question, pretty routine question about, man, you've had a long run. You're at Wyoming, and then you get ready for the All-Star Games, and you get ready for the Combine, then you do the Combine, and you work with Jordan Palmer out west. Then you come here. I said, you're probably looking forward to a little bit of a break coming up. And he said, oh, no. He said, this is what I like to do. He said, it's football here 24/7. This is what I want to do. This. He said, it's kind of the fulfillment of his lifelong dream to be here working on football every single day. I was surprised by that answer.
He's a sponge. He loves it. He loves going in the meeting rooms. And Daboll will pull up plays that he ran at Alabama. I was in there one day, and he had plays they run in Alabama. And then plays that New England had run when Daboll was there, and he was making them call out the play. Like, what's this? What's and
not just, from your own playbook?
No. Well, it's plays that he's taken over.
I got you.
That he brought from Alabama, or plays that maybe they ran in New England, a certain play.
I got you.
You know, he basically pulled out some of the plays that match what Josh should know.
He recognized.
And say, all right, call out this play. And it was just, he loves it. It was like they were playing Jeopardy in there or something. It was cool. He loves it. He's embraced it. You know, one other thing that I thought about when John's question was that day he threw a pick in 2 minute, and, you know, that can put people in the tank. He came right back down and threw a touchdown. You know, he didn't. That's what you want. You're going to get knocked down. Bad things are going to happen. The good ones, they know how to handle adversity, and they rally the troops. All right, last play didn't go well. We're going to start over, and we're going to make it right.
Hey, Brandon, you were talking a minute ago about Zay Jones coming back from his injury, and a guy who, unfortunately, you didn't get to see at all this spring, Trent Murphy, one of your big free agent signings. Are you confident that when you get to camp that he'll eventually be up and running and ready to go and ready to contribute on defense? You signed him for a reason.
Yeah. You know, Trent, we probably took it very cautious with Trent, to be candid. maybe even more cautious than Trent wanted. But he's a veteran. He's played. He understands. He's very smart. He's in every meeting. He's been doing individual. So he did everything other than those team periods. And the and while we would have loved to had him out there, we just felt the prudent decision was to, knowing that you have a five-week break, all right, these last two, 3 weeks, that gives him 7-8 weeks if we don't rush him out there. And just to make sure, you know, you're coming off an ACL and you don't want any setbacks. And I have no doubt that he'll be, you know, he'll be ready to roll once we get rolling.
Now, you brought up earning the right with Josh. A couple of instances where we saw maybe rookies didn't have to do that as much. Tre'Davious last year and Tremaine this year, where they were both inserted into the starting lineup immediately. What made those situations different than what Josh is going through?
Well, I think the quarterback position is always different because you've got to know what every person is doing. You got to know if somebody's not lined up, somebody's not on the ball, is there 11 guys on the field, what's the protections. It's such a vast ask of what the quarterback's doing versus slotting somebody in at a receiver, at a cornerback, at a linebacker. Now, Tremaine, you are the quarterback of the defense, so he does have to know a lot. But we just thought, let's throw him in there. And part of it is, you know, we had a hole there. I mean, I couldn't be honest. You know, I mean, couldn't fool anybody. We had, that was a gaping hole and a gaping need that we had, that had we not been able to draft somebody like Tremaine, we were going to have to work to fill that spot. So Tremaine's done a good job. He's really come in. I think the vets, you know, really have embraced him, taking that leadership role in there, even though he's a young guy, and Lorenzo and those guys have put their arm around him and schooled him up when things he could do better. But kind of a trial by fire for him.
And you can't miss him.
No.
He's huge.
You see his helmet when he's in the huddle. You see his just a little bit higher than everybody else's.
You knew Starlo Tulele. You had him in Carolina. You've had him now for the last 4 or 5 weeks in workouts here. Are you getting what you expected to get, seeing what you expected to see from him?
Yeah. You know what? Star's a very quiet guy.
Yeah.
He didn't say a lot in Carolina. But definitely knew who he was. He's a come-to-work, lunch pail type of guy. He's very selfless. And I think the thing you'll see with Star when we get the pads on, you know, is – he loves to take on the double and watch a Kyle Williams or a Jerry Hughes or whoever it works to, because he was a part of that. Even though, you know, those guys are getting the record of it, you know, in the stat book, he was a big part of that, and he loves being that guy. He did it with K.K. Short in Carolina. I can't tell you how many times I talked to Luke Kuechly, and Luke was like, man, those two guys up front helped me run and make plays. So he's going to be a big part of what we do. You may not see him in the stat book every day, but if you're watching and you understand what goes on up front, he'll be a big part of what we're doing.
Brandon, you're not going to like this question. What do you need to do between now and training camp? Your roster, do you see anything where you think to yourself, I'd like to add this, I'd like to do this?
Yeah.
You got 6 weeks now until training camp.
Yeah, you know, we're always looking. We really are. We do have to try and hit the reset button here so that we can go for the long haul of the season. It's been we haven't stopped since the season is over. We stepped on the gas after that game in Jacksonville. So, you know, my staff is off, but we're still plugged in through all the technologies we have. And we'll still keep an eye on what's out there. But most of the league kind of, you know, decompressed a little bit. So there won't be a lot of movement player-wise. And with 90 guys on most rosters, there's not a lot out there, to be candid. But once we get into camp and games get going, we'll be following guys and finding ways. And things happen. Some team sees one of their young guys playing well, and they become willing to move on from a higher-priced veteran. So there's trades. There's different things. We're going to look to get better everywhere. There's not a certain position I'm saying we got to do X or Y before we get to
last
camp.
Last year when you got to camp, you were active. You made trades. Was that a one-year anomaly, or could that happen again, do you think?
You know, we were probably, very active last year, knowing what was coming up with the draft.
Right.
And knowing that it looked like a quarterback-heavy draft and a chance to get one. But we're always looking to improve our roster. You know, we're always looking to win today and win tomorrow. So if there's the right opportunity to do something that helps us today and tomorrow, We'll always entertain it, but there's not a, I don't have a plan to say, hey, I want to, you know, trade four or trade two or three players. You know, we'll see what comes to us, you know, as August gets here.
On your list of priorities for the next 5 or 6 weeks, where do you put shaving your two handicap down to something lower than that? Is that up there? You're going to play a lot, aren't
you? I am going to play a lot. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I need to get it down to a two. It's not quite a two, but
you need to play with Tasker when he comes back.
We played nine holes last week.
How was
he? He played well.
Yeah.
He knows the course better than I know it. We were playing over at Cragburn.
Okay.
But
he lives on that course.
Yeah. He owns it.
The interesting thing about that, Steve's handicap, since he started working here 5 days a week,
yeah,
it got lower.
Did He's it?
Playing less golf and his handicap got lower.
Well, that's what happens. He was overthinking. Less time now.
Brandon, thanks for this. Thanks for spending time with us today.
Sounds good.
We'll be around. We hope to see you.
Yeah, sounds good. You guys have a good summer.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.